They met again at midnight in the same room, in the same way. Stone glanced at the others and saw that they were tired. No one, including himself, was getting enough sleep. "We're going at this too hard," he said. "We don't need to work around the clock, and we shouldn't do so. Tired men will make mistakes." The team agreed to get at least 6 hours sleep in each 24-hour period. That seemed reasonable. Since there were no problem on the surface, the infection at Piedmont had been halted by the atomic bomb. Their belief might never have been altered had not Levitt suggested that they file for a code name. Levitt stated that they had an organism and that it required a code. The others agreed. In a corner of the room stood the scrambler typewriter. It had been clattering all day long, typing out material sent in from the outside. No one had really bothered to look at the input since their arrival on Level 5. They were all too busy. Besides, most of the input had been routine military dispatches that were sent to Wildfire but did not concern it. Stone went to the typewriter and printed out his message. There followed a long pause. The scrambler telephone hummed and clicked but printed nothing. Then the typewriter began to spit out a message on a long roll of paper. "Opening new category classification according to ICDA standard reference code for your organism will be Andromeda code will read out Andromeda strain." Stone typed back. "Understand coding as Andromeda strain. Accepted. End message transmitted." "Well," Stone said, "that's that." Burton had been looking over the sheaves of paper behind the teleprinter. The teleprinter wrote its messages out on a long roll of paper which fell into a box. There were dozens of yards of paper that no one had looked at. Silently, he read a single message, tore it from the rest of the strip, and handed it to Stone. "Transmit to all stations, classification top secret, request for directive 712 received, authority primary man check, Arthur, Major USA, in closed session, this directive has not been acted upon. Final decision has been postponed 24 to 48 hours, alternative troop deployment according to directive 711 now in effect." The team stared at the message in disbelief. No one said anything for a long time. "Get Sector 5 on the intercom," Stone said. 10 minutes later, the horrified Captain Morris had connected Stone to Robertson, the head of the President's Science Advisory Committee, who was in Houston. There then followed a heated discussion of the President's decision not to call a Directive 712. "The President doesn't trust scientists," Robertson said. "He doesn't feel comfortable with them."
"It's your job to make him comfortable," Stone said, "and you haven't been doing it."
"Jeremy, I agree the bomb should have been dropped."
"Then work on him. Stay on his back. Get him to call a 712 as soon as possible. It may already be too late."
Robertson said he would and would call back.
Before he hung up, he said, "By the way, any thoughts about the Phantom?"
"The what?" Stone said.
"The Phantom that crashed in Utah."
There was a moment of confusion before the Wildfire group understood that they had missed still another important teleprinter message. Robertson explained what had happened.
"We're waiting for information from them. It could come at any time."
"Pass it along," Stone said, and then he stopped. "If a 711 was ordered instead of a 712, he said, "then you have troops in the area around Piedmont?"
"National Guard, yes."
"That's pretty damn stupid," Stone said.
"Look, Jeremy, I agree."
"When the first one dies," Stone said, "I want to know when and how, and most especially where. The wind there is from the east predominantly. If you start losing men west of Piedmont, I'll call, Jeremy,"
Robertson said. The conversation ended, and the team shuffled out of the conference room. Hall remained behind a moment, going through some of the rolls in the box, noting the messages. The majority were unintelligible to him, a weird set of nonsense messages and codes. After a time, he gave up. He did so before he came upon the reprinted news item concerning the peculiar death of Officer Martin Willis of the Arizona Highway Patrol.